Yeah. Okay. Over here? I got stuck getting out. Because of the snowplow. Vans have they're not four wheel drives.
No.
Yeah. I didn't try. When I came to pick up the chair, I didn't try to get into the parking lot because I saw I was already. And to get stuck on New Ridge is not a. Yeah, it's so nerve wracking. Hands driving. I'm driving. We got exit anyway, so you're good. Yeah, I'm not allowed to shovel. Yeah. Once you get done. Okay, we're on Daf Vav and Aleph. Sorry? Vav and Aleph, yeah. Making up for lost time last week. I started fooling around with the code earlier this week. Enjoying the minig of Yeshiva Ketanis, no snow days. It's fine. Well, you're sharing with the. I think it was here. Someone's coming in. You have to split it with David. So Vav Med Aleph, we're still working in the sugya of Baal Ta'acher. And the last two, of the last two blot, there have been two distinct sources for the din of Baal Ta'acher. There's been one pasuk which is darshan at the top of Hey Amud Beis, Ki Sidar Neder LaHashem LeKecho Loisa Acher LeShalmo, don't delay in paying it. Ki Dorish Yidrishenu HaShem LeKecho VeImcha V'Hoyu B'Chochet, because Baruch Hu will demand it from you. So that's a pasuk in Kiseitze. Now the top of, so that's one set of drushes. And then on the top of Vav Med Aleph, the Gemara presents the drushes for another set of psukim. Let's get the pasuk. Yeah. Motza sefasecha tishmor. Two psukim later. Motza sefasecha tishmor. Would you say you should observe? V'yosisa kasher nedarta l'Hashem lekecha nedava shenidibarta v'ficha. The two psukim that are two psukim away from each other in Kiseitze, both are strongly giving us halachas of not delaying. So the Gemara on Hey Amud Beis gave one set of explanations of why that pasuk is has a lot of redundancies in it, right? Kisinar Dera LaHashem Lo Sa'acher L'Shalmo. That's the pasuk, and then it says Kidarish Yidrishena. God will seek it from you. And you'll be over and away if you don't do it. That's all redundant. Because Baruch Hu tells us to not to delay. So we know because Baruch Hu wants it. And we know that we'll get, there'll be consequences. Two psukim later, it says, you'll make a neder to Hashem. It's mois v'secho tishmar, which you say you have to observe. Oh, that seems to be redundant. Asisa kasher nedarta, pay up your neder, redundant. Nedova shedibarta b'ficha. So these two psukim seem to say the same thing. So the Gemara in Hey Amud Beis gives one set of explanations of why they are there's so much redundancy, and the pasuk in Vavim and the Gemara in Vavim and Aleph gives another set of interpretations of so many redundancies. However, the Gemara then points out that many of the interpretations are identical. That in both places we're asked to make sure that we don't delay a neder. In both places we're asked that we don't delay an adava. In both places we're asked that we don't delay a various korbanos, olos, and shlamim. So we ended off by saying that in the middle of Vav Amud Aleph, that the Gemara is the reason why there are two psukim to teach us as halachas because there are two separable concerns, offenses. And that is a person could make a neder and then delay in separating the donation and putting it aside. And a person could put it aside and delay in delivering it. A person could make a neder, he wants to give this particular, he said, I'll give this animal. But until he gets around to actually dedicating the animal, setting it aside. A person could say he's going to take care he's going to give us a specific gift. Could be some a gift to the Ben HaKabayis, so the Beis HaMikdash will be able to use the money and be able to take care of one of the needs of the Beis HaMikdash. So he can delay in actually setting aside the money, or he could set it aside and not deliver it. So the Gemara says that the pasuk is that's why we have these two psukim. The first set of psukim is in delaying the delivery, and this set of psukim is in delaying and setting it aside. Now The Rambam takes this Gemara, and the Gemara explains, why would I think that I need to have why do I need to have a pasuk to teach me that delaying in either situation is a violation? With that, if I wouldn't have the extra pasuk, I would think I make a promise. I have to deliver that promise within three regalim. Why would the Gemara? Why does the Torah go out of its way to say that if I delay in actually setting aside the funds, I'm in violation of those zachar? Or if I delay in delivering, I'm in violation of zachar? Why does the Gemara have to specify both? I would simply say from dedication to delivery. The Gemara says, no, I might have thought that avol afresh le'akriv eima yesh me'inan. 2, 4, 5 lines of the wide line. The tzricha, we need both to be articulated. The yash me'inan omar v'lay afresh mishum d'lay kaim l'dibure. Avol afresh v'lay akriv emikol heichad isa begat the rachmona isa. Person might say, look, the din of Baal Ta'achin, the prohibition of delaying, has to do with setting the money aside, setting the item aside. Once I set the item aside, the whole world belongs to God. So it's delivered already. If I promise to give a carbon, once I set the carbon aside, I'm done. Now I still have to deliver it. But the violation of Baal Ta'achir is in my, if I delay in setting it aside. But once I've set it aside, then it belongs to Hashem Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, on the other hand, I could say that that I'm not held responsible for delaying and setting it aside. I'm only responsible for not delivering it. Because until I set it aside, okay, so I didn't give myself a set time. I said I'm going to do it. Once it's readily available there, why am I not bringing it up? Then I'm a schlepper. I'm not bringing it up to Yerushalayim. I made it on the funds to separate aside right now. All right? But once it's there, why am I not delivering it? So the Gemara says that therefore we have to have a pasuk that tells us that I can violate Baal Ta'acher in either situation, that it goes from pledge to delivery. Now, at first, we often see these Gemaras and we think that the Gemara had to find some kind of way of justifying two psukim, so it found these two details, which are not, which we intuitively would have said, sounded like the Gemara was out of its way, going into a pretzel in order to be able to explain why there are two extra psukim. However, both the Ran and the Pnei Yeshua, the Ran means we're going one of the Rishonim, and the Pnei Yeshua is one of the early Acharonim, pointed out that there's one set of items which only appears in Hey Amud Beis and does not appear in Vav Amud Aleph, and that is Leket Shikchan Peya. Those are what we give to the poor person because we drop them in the field. So he said that both the Ran and Yeshua, the Gemara, is extremely precise over here because Leket Shikchan are not set aside; they're only delivered. Leket is something that I leave it. It gets set aside, I forget it, right? So it's God sets it aside. So so Chazal were extremely precise. Is that in one brisa, the reason why the brisa had the neder and had the dava and had different kinds of korbanos and the tzedakah. The one set of things they're missing is the items which get set aside inadvertently. So that's what the Gemara understood, that there are two distinct points in time, and even further, there are two distinct violations. One violation is, I'm not ready to separate to give, I'm ready to deliver. There are two distinct parts in every pledge or korban. One is, I'm giving something up on my own, I am reappropriating something that I had in mind. This, I was going to use these funds for retirement, for a chasana, and I'm saying, no, now that's the separation as part of the mitzvah of pledging. And then delivering it and actually giving it and making sure that the item gets it. That is, and contributing. Now, there's two positive parts to every pledge. The willingness to part with something and the interest in being involved with something. So since those are two parts of every mitzvah tzedakah, the Gemara discusses, let's say I have to make a decision whether I want to give 100 gifts, 100 small gifts, or one very large gift. So the Gemara opts that 100 small gifts is better. And the Gemara explains because one of the goals of tzedakah is to be able to part with something. So if I part with something 100 times, I become that cements that need to be able to part with my goods. I often question that is if that should be tweaked a little bit, because it's easier to part with $2 100 times than to part with $200. So I'm not sure if the logic of the Gemara applies every single situation in modern times. But that just shows that Chazal do focus on these two aspects of a gift. And the Gemara now is going to continue and highlight some of those distinctions. Sam.
So then why does he have to be makish then?
Right. Sam is saying that if I'm such a mammon, then I believe that whenever I separate something, somebody deliver it, God can come and get it. So why should I bother separating it? So I think the answer is that what's going on in the mind of the person is that once that delivering it is really not a significant act of giving tzedakah. The significant act is parting with something. Where it goes, who it goes to, I think that's what he's saying. So he's saying that the significant act, I did already. The Baal Ta'achar, I think that's what he means literally, it's delivered already. But it means that the delivery is not the focus point of tzedakah. The focus point is parting. So that, but the Gemara is saying, no, that there are two separate aspects in the mitzvah. Right. Right. There should be nothing. There's no separation and no delivery. By leket shikhan peya, the Gemara says that the ani comes and takes. However, if the aniyim don't come, and they're not around, then I do collect it and make it available to them. Right. Peya also, I leave the corner. I leave part of the tree. But in the event that the aniyim don't come, then when it comes to pay, I'm certainly supposed to harvest it before it rots and deliver it, or at least make it available for delivery.
Yeah, I think within the last thing, that's a modern philosophy where they said, you know, it only costs you pennies a day. So when they're trying to sell something,
right,
a certain amount. They don't say, you know, in terms of the easy to get. $100,
yeah. $2
bill, then to give $200.
Right. So the logic there is it's easier to part with a small amounts every day than one large amount. That's installment payments. Yeah, that's always something I wonder. My own experiences. The Chazal say that 100 small gifts are better. It could be that Chazal had in mind, but the small gift has to hurt a little bit. If the small gift doesn't hurt b'chlal, so then I'm not sure if that's what they had in mind. Just because practically speaking, you're saying it's correct. Because the Gemara says that it also could be that it depends on the how significant the gift is in one's when it changes to change one's lifestyle. So now the Gemara says, "Umi motzitz amrat the Omar v'le afrish v'nedava kesiva utanan ezu neder." So the Gemara now questions this distinction. How could you say that the pasuk that we are darshing in Vav and Aleph is referring to a situation where a person has decided to set something aside, but didn't set it aside? Because nidava is a gift that is discussed in Vav and Aleph, and nidava by definition is setting aside. In other words, the Gemara goes on to explain. Ezu neder, when the Gemara had, the Torah is two phrases, either a neder or a nedava. Now we use both of these phrases interchangeably, right? We make even mishaberach. So we say, I think we sometimes say, mavur shen nodar, right? So there, right, but that's where probably where the word shnor comes from, may come from shen nodar. So so there we are making a neder. Why is that? Because we're not identifying exactly what we want to give. That's a neder. And a dova gift, according to Chazal, is when I've identified exactly what I want to give. Ezu neder ha'omer ha'me'alai. A person says, I am accepting upon myself to give a certain amount of money. That's a neder. The Ezu Nidava Ha'omer Rezu Ola. And Nidava is when I say this animal is going to be an Nidava. What's the difference? What does it matter when they say I accept responsibility or I'm identifying? Gemara says, Nodar, if I made a pledge, Mase a Nignav Chai Machriusa. Nidava, Mase a Nignav Chai Machriusa. That if I pledge an animal, a certain amount, a korban, and I have in mind to bring a certain animal, and it may even set aside the animal away, aside. And that animal now gets stolen or gets hurt, I still have to bring another replacement. However, if I say this particular animal, I'm going to give it a nedava. Either this animal is already on its way out, it's been a dairy animal, and I can't use it, or for whatever reason, or this animal is the one that accompanied me for a long time, I'm going to give it as a gift to Rabbeinu Shalom, whatever it is. But once I identify this particular animal, so then if this particular animal then dies and then gets hurt, then I have no further responsibility. So Harei Olai means a person accepts a personal responsibility. And Harei Zu means I'm willing to deliver this particular item. So the Gemara says a Nedava is always going to be a situation where the item has been set aside. So the Baal Ta'acher, the only way I can violate when it comes to a Baal Ta'acher, delaying, procrastinating, when it comes to a nether, the only way is in the second part, is if I set it aside and I didn't deliver it. And the Gemara says that the Vav Omid Aleph is referring to the situation where I delayed in setting it aside. The Gemara questions whether that's a good explanation of having these two parallel psukim. Omar Rabbi Mishkachasla, Kigoy de Omar, Hare Olai Ola Al Menos She'eni Chayiv Ba'ach Riyusa. Because you can have the following situation where a person creates a hybrid. He says, he accepts upon himself to bring a Korban Shlomim, but it's a one animal deal. He's not accepting upon himself. He accepts upon himself. He doesn't know which animal he's going to bring. So he can't make it in the dove right now. But he said, I want to bring a korban tithe. I want to give thanks to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can't afford to have to set aside one animal, then have it get lost, another animal. So it's a one animal neder. He promises to give the Rav Shalom an animal. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, that's his deal. So that could be a situation where he's making a nidava, but he has not yet set it aside. So that would fit this. Now, the very, very bottom Tosfos says, but isn't, sorry, he makes a neder. He makes a neder on with the condition that he doesn't have responsibility to replace it. So it really is acting like an adava, but how, in the halachic terms, it's a neder. So the very last Tosfos says, "Lo domi lemasal masha kosa b'teira." End the sentence. The shorter Tosfos, the harder one. So he says, and don't think this is a problem. What's the problem? The Gemara says that we have a halacha that if the Rav Hashem gives us a certain construct, I can't fool around with that construct, right? For example, I can't say I want to lend you money, and on the condition that Shemitah should not erase this loan. Because Baruch Hu said, there are ways to make such a tenai, but I can't do it blank. I can't create a construct against the Torah's construct. I can't say, I want to lend you money on the condition that I'm allowed to charge you rivers. Now, generally speaking, we can make any condition we want when it comes to monetary issues. I can say, I want to lend you money in condition that you pay back in 2 years and 3 years and 15 days, whatever it is. And there are many situations when it comes to monetary deals that we're allowed to stick a condition. However, the condition cannot be one that becomes a workaround against the Adin of Kishbaruch. Kishbaruch said that money cannot be lent with interest. Okay? So now I can't say, I'm going to lend you money on condition that I'm allowed to charge you interest. We make a deal between ourselves. So, Gemara says, for example, when people get married, so Chazal put into place that a husband is obligated to support his wife. The Gemara says a couple can say, we are getting married on condition that we will self-support. We won't. Most situations, Chazal say, stam, without any conversation, husband is obligated to support his wife. If his wife earns the money, so that money is obligated, puts into like the family bank account. But a couple is allowed to say that if they both agree that whatever the wife makes, she gets to keep, and the husband is obligated to support her. Now, why does that work? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu defined the husband's obligation to support his wife as a responsibility towards his wife. So if his wife wants to waive it, she can waive it. When it comes to making a loan between the two of us, so Kadosh Baruch Hu did not define ribis as the right of the lova. And the right of the one borrower. He has a right that to receive money without interest. And therefore he can waive that right. Not true. He cannot waive that right. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't make that into a, doesn't put that into the rights of the person borrowing it. There are situations, for example, a person could say, let's say if I want to, halacha says that whenever I borrow money, I should have witnesses. Now, the witnesses should not be related to either one of us because they become tainted witnesses. However, I can borrow money and lend money, and I can say on condition that we use these two witnesses. That's the deal. You have to waive your right of having impartial witnesses. We can do that. So sometimes we are allowed to, sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu phrases things as rights you can waive. And sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu phrases things as obligations that are placed upon. So the Gemara, so Tosfos says, over here, which way is it? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, if you make a promise and you accept upon yourself a responsibility, so then you got to come through with it. If the animal dies, you gotta come through with it. You gotta replace it. That's part of a neder. That's what it means to have a neder. So the Gemara says, But what happens if a person says, he wants to make a neder, but it's a one deal neder. It's a neder on condition. A one time, he gives God a one time gift. Doesn't work out. He's not mischai himself. Isn't that a workaround? The Kadosh Baruch Hu said, either give me a gift or give me a pledge. So now I'm going to give a pledge with the rules of a gift. So Taisva says, this is not an example of making a condition against a Torah construct. He doesn't say why. Why isn't it? So the Ritva explains. The Ritva explains that the reason, because Tosfos is understanding that the reason why God gave us these two constructs is because people think in these two different ways. It's not that Gosh Baruch Hu said, I need to know, I'm doing my budgeting, I need to know whether I'm going to get this carbon or a different carbon. I need to know whether it's going to be a set animal. I need to know whether you're good for the money. That's not Gosh Baruch Hu. Gosh Baruch Hu is saying, people think in different ways. So since people think sometimes in pledges and sometimes in gifts, so you have to understand what you're accepting upon yourself. But if you tell me that you're thinking pledge, you're thinking hybrid gift pledge, fine. In other words, it's not defined as a Torah construct of neder nedava. It's defined as Kadosh Baruch Hu just took our thinking and gave him a title. If you think this way, I'm going to call it a neder. You think this way, now you want to think a third way? Fine, you can do that. So that's a Tosfos, and this is not a case of Masna Masha Kosa Torah. This is the neder and the dava are summary statements for the way that people think. So then the Gemara says, what would the Migo be? Right. No, the would be, the difference is that he's able, let's say a person without this Gemara, let's say a person wanted to give a one time, he didn't know which animal he's going to bring right now. Right. But he only wants to give one animal. He does not want to create an obligation. Right. He wants to give, for example, let's say he wants to give a, let's say he has several $500 bonds. So he wants to give one of those $500 bonds to the tzedakah. He doesn't know which one. But if one of those $500 bonds drops, he doesn't have to make it up with another one.
But he's not specifying which one it is.
Not right. So how can he? So he can't make a neder, because if he makes a neder, then he's going to be good for the $500. And if the one that he's eyeing drops in a value, he's now on the hook to give another bond. He doesn't want that. He wants to cap off his losses, whether it's loss or whether it's stuck at 500. Right. Right, right.
So there's nothing specific said. So what is he saying now?
So this guy wants to give a sheep, but he cannot afford to give more than one sheep.
But he has to give them one.
Right. Right, and then that sheep dies. So he doesn't want to be on the hook for another sheep. Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying. That's why it can be called a nedava. The mechanics are in there, but in essence, it becomes a nedava. Right. And that's why the Gemara says this could be called a nedava, right? But it's really so the Gemara says this is a situation where he could be over bal ta'acher, both in the from the pledge to the identification, as well as the identification to the delivery. This is the only way he could be over bal ta'acher for a nedava. Because it's really the mechanics are a neder, but the item becomes a nedava. But it could be an important tool. It could be very practical. A person says, I have earned a certain amount of money. I have $500 I want to give it to the stocker, but if I end up losing the 500, then I can't give money to the stocker. So he wants to be able, and has not yet identified exactly what he wants to give. So he's stuck in between. So the Gemara said, you have an option. You can create a pledge with no responsibility to replace that if it gets lost, if it goes down in value. So that's the chiddush of this Gemara, and that's what Tosh is saying, and I would have thought that this is not an option, not available. No, it can be done. Then the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Utstaka, this is a very important line now, Utstaka mechayiv alei le'alter. This is a line that we skipped. We had on Dalin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara said that Staka gets three Yom Tovim. And this is very important halacha lamasa for us, because of all the things that we talk about with Baal Ta'acher, right now, unfortunately, we're not talking about, we're not bringing Korbanos, we're not doing Neket Shikun Peya. So the one item, which is really halacha lamasa, is Tzedakah. And the Rabban says, Utzedakah, when I made a pledge, or I set aside money for Tzedakah, so Baal Ta'acher starts ticking right away. Everything else, Baal Ta'acher, I get three regolim, three yamim tovim, tzedaka la'alter. Gemara says, my time. Why should tzedaka be different? Everything else we discussed in the last two blot, I get three yamim tovim. So why should tzedaka, why should giving money to the poor be any different than any other pledge? So kaima niyim. Because the poor are there. Pshita, Mawadatema, Kavan, the Gemara says that this should be self-evident. Now, why should it be self-evident? So here, we begin to understand of an insight into the three Yomim Tovim. Sounds like the reason I have three Yomim Tovim because the Torah does not expect me to head up to Yerushalayim every time I'm inspired to give something to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm inspired to give a korban, a chatas, a shlomim. The Gemara does not expect me. I want to get forgiveness because I was over a chait. So I could easily see somebody arguing, you really want forgiveness? You're in Tzfat? Take off the week? Yerushalayim? Get kapara? You're in Kiryat Shmona? Whatever it is, drop what you're doing, go up. Gemara says, no, not obligated. I have to bring a korban chatas, and I have in mind to bring the korban, and now I have three yamim tovim to bring, and until those three yamim tovim are up, I'm not over bal ta'acher because I'm not in Yerushalayim, I'm not there. Now, the Gemara says, but when it comes to giving tzedakah to the poor, so the poor are there. So why just to take care of it? Take care of it right away. That's pasha. Why should I not? The parallel of taking korbanis to Yerushalayim is giving money to the poor. But you might say, what's it doing in a pasuk about korbanis? The reason why it's stuck is there is because ad the avre olei sholish regalim ke korbanis. Because maybe we should explain, maybe, because Rachel said, no, you always have time. I don't expect you to cough up the pay up right away. You have time before you become responsible. Kamash Milan, Hosamudit Tulina Rachmana Birgolim, Abul Hachaloi, the Hoshechiche Anovim. So therefore, the Rava explains to us that when it comes to gifts that are brought to Yerushalayim, so then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to come, I want you to be in Yerushalayim over the next Yom Tovim. If three Yom Tovim go by, I'm considering it to be delayed, procrastinated, three Yom Tovim, beginning the cycle with Pesach. However, Adim, they're around, they're right there. Question, and the Rambam takes it a step further, and the Rambam says that, in fact, according to the Rambam, look at the Tosfos. Let's go back to Dalet Amud Aleph. And Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Stokes Umasres. The Tosfos says that it sounds like on Dalet Amud Aleph that Stoka gets three Yamim Tovim. Then he asks them, V'omar Rava, Lekaman. But Rava says in the Vav Amud Aleph, right? Dalet Amud Aleph is the one, two, three, four, five, six Tosfos down. Utstoka Mechaim Olali Alter, that Stoka does not get three Yamim Tovim. Stock is for the poor. Right? Stock is specifically for the poor. Avolei mechayva duris. The Gemara says, hanemila dekayme aniyim. Avolei, if aniyim are not around, and if aniyim are around, then I get, I have to give it right away. What happens if they're not aniyim around? Does that mean I get three yamim tovim? Or I get forever? I live in a rich gated community. They don't allow the poor in. Or somebody made a deal with the drivers. Not to, you pay the drivers a lot of money to keep this neighborhood quiet. So they haven't found out about us. So they didn't get, never come by. So what's the din? Avaloi mechayv laduri basrayu. Kozumanchli over shloshi regolim. So Tosfos says, no, the way it works is if there are aniyim readily available, give right away. If the aniyim are not readily available, so then you get three yom tovim till the poor come by. Now, after the third yom tov, now you're obligated to go out and seek the poor. Avoloi mechayim lahadurei basrayu kol zaman shli omru shloi shirigolim. Now, what about, am I obligated to put the money aside, right? The halacha seems to be, I made a pledge to give a certain amount of money to the poor. Okay? Now, as soon as the poor are readily available, I have to give it as soon as I can. They're not readily available, okay, when they come by, I have to give it. Now, three yom tovim go by, a Pesach, a Shavuos, a Sukkos, then I have to make up, I have to already start get down and find the poor. Now, the Rambam is Mechadesh, and we paskin this way, although the Torah disagrees, that if the poor are not readily available, I still have to separate the money. I have to put it aside right away. The Torah writes, not necessarily, the Gemara didn't indicate that. But the Rambam apparently said, remember when we began this year, we said there are two points in which can be over Baal Ta'achar. One is in terms of separate, one is in terms of delivery. So the Rambam learned the Gemara that has become a very important theme in Baal Ta'achar. Torah learns the Gemara, and that's a way of explaining the two sets of psukim. But when the Gemara says, when it comes to gifts to the poor, so then we have to deal with it immediately, and if not, we get the three regalim. So the Gemara is not identifying that there's this, that now there you have to separate the money. And the Rambam says, no, that's the point of the sugya. The sugya said there are two distinct ways in which a person is over Baal Ta'achar. So the Rambam says the poor are not there, so you have to separate the money right away. And then you put it aside, and then when the poor come, you give it to them. If they don't come, after three of them, you have to seek them out. But the so that's, and Shulchan Aruch does paskin that way. Sam?
mashing something, you set it aside, so you take the status of that.
Correct. Right.
And you take the money and say, so say it has mana milta or mana lava milta, that's basically what you're doing. You're just saying, I'm designating this. And then tomorrow I say, okay, you know what? I really need this right now. I'm going to put something else aside from the day after.
Right.
I'm going to use this to buy something now. So is he over on anything?
No. No.
Within the 3 months, he says, I'm going to give so and so much to the stalker.
Right.
To the Aniyam. And then a week later, he sets aside some money. And a week later than that, he says, you know, I need this money right now. I'll put something else before. So he's certainly within the time frame.
A person is allowed to switch the funds for other funds. Right? So let's say, for example, I put aside a $100 bill and I put aside 10 $10 bills. And now I need $10 bills. So I want to take those 10 $10 bills and put a $100 bill down. I think it's 100% mutter. The reason is that when it comes to something that's going to end up in the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban, so then when I set it aside, I am making it Kanosh. But when I put money aside for the poor, I'm not making it Kanosh. The poor can do whatever they want with it. So there is, it's very possible that once he sets it aside, it does transfer over to the poor. That's the lashon, which I think the one second. That is a lashon that comes up in one of the Rishonim, but the point is not that a poor person can sue me for it. So what you're saying is correct. When I set the money aside, it stays within my ownership. But the poor do have, but I have transferred some rights to the poor. I don't know what those rights are. One of their rights could be that they could get the Beis Din to force me to give it to them. That they could do. Right. Right. So that's correct. They would not be able, any particular poor person, unless I identified the poor, would not be able to sue me for it directly. However, a Beis Din could force me to hand it over to Beis Din or something. There are more rights that if the Gabbite stalker, right? So then, and I make a pledge of stalker to a Gabbite stalker, right? Discretionary account. Money that goes to the poor. So if a person pledges money to the discretionary account, there are more rights, then they are not subject to this rule. Then they do not have to set money aside until I come over and I say, we need it. Till the Gabbai comes over. Now, exactly why that's so, I'm not sure. I believe the reason is because when a person makes a promise to a organization with a executor, then they're implicitly saying, when you need it, come and get it. The shach qualifies that and says, let's say a person says, I want to give a certain amount of stock to the discretionary fund, okay? And then if they hear me saying that I'm dry, then I'm going to have to give a clap and I need to collect more money. So then they become responsible right away. On the other hand, until they hear me saying I need the funds, then they can wait until I ask for it. But there's a unique din if the funds are governed by an executor. Stamazai, a person makes a pledge to give to the poor, the emphasis we have this in Purim. On Purim, the halacha is that we have to give money to the poor. What happens if no poor come by? So then we have to put the money aside. And that often happens that at the end of the day, there is money set aside for the poor. And then we give it as the poor make themselves known. Right, coming back to Sam's question, is there any significance to setting the money aside? So I believe, this is an interesting question, I believe it could be a first-come, first-served basis after that. Because if I set money aside for the poor, and I don't have any specific organization or poor or gabbai in mind, so now there's a knock on the door. So then he has his chus. Does he have his chus on the entire pot? Probably not. But he certainly has his chus. So can I then say, I think there's a, I would rather find a guy who's worthier. This guy can't afford to make a wedding, but I want to wait till a guy can't afford to pay his mortgage. I'm going to wait till a guy who can't afford to provide his child with medicine. So unless I have stated this in advance, I probably could not make the decision. Once I set it aside, so then first poor that comes, and it's within the realm of poor, I have to give him, I don't know if I have to give him everything, but I have to give him that. He can present himself. He can't, he probably cannot take me to Beis Din and say, ask the Beis Din to get the money from me, because as you said, I can say, you're not giving it to somebody else. But then Beis Din would follow through and actually give it to somebody else. But in this case, it's a little bit different. This is the place we discussed on Shabbos a little bit. Allocation of resources. Allocation of resources usually is first come, first served basis, as long as they're within a certain framework. But that might be a distinction between setting the money aside and not yet setting it aside. I make a pledge, and let's say I make a pledge, I want to give money over the course, and in the next 6 months, I want to give some of my money to the poor. And then somebody shows up after 3 months, I can put on the list, take his credentials, think about it. But if I set them, but if I say I'm giving $500 to tzedakah, so then the Rambam would say, as soon as they can, separate it out. Now, what's the significance of that? I said it's tzedakah, so now when a guy comes by, he has a chus to have some of that money. Because if I said I wanted to give. If I said that I wanted to give tzedakah over the course, sometime between now and December 29th, so then the money's not there yet. I haven't put money aside that belongs to the aniyim. But once I'm mafresh, like you were saying before, it's not kaddish, but it does belong. No one ani can say, that's mine. Correct. But an ani can go to Beis Din and say to Beis Din company, and say, what's the deal? What did you have in mind? You had in mind to give to the poor? He's a poor guy. You have to give him something. Because they do begin to get, I think that might be, it's a resource that belongs to them. My thinking is the medical resources. You have medical resources. Once a person is a chola, they have a schus to get the medical resource by virtue of being a chola. So the person who's dispensing it, halach is he supposed to do first come, first serve? Mine is the truth about an ER room. So the two guys come in, first guy, I can't make a decision. Sometimes the Gemara does give us certain ideas how to make decisions. But with that? Yeah. Now, Rav Moshe does write, what happens if two people present in the ER, and I think it's the first come, first serve. But then he says, what happens if they come at the same time, and one is One I see I can save, and the other I can't save. There's a little bit of it's less than Shabbos. So then the guy who I can save gets first crack. Now what happens if people come one after the other, and one I can save, other I could save? So can I, if I already have delivered to the sicker person, I can't take it away from him. Can I bypass him? So Rav Moshe writes, from a perspective of allocation of resources, I could bypass him. But on the other hand, if I bypass a person in the ER with the medication that they need, then that is such a disaster in terms of the psychology of the person that I'm going to end up shortening his life. So that's part of the cheshbon. So my thinking is that you see, when it comes to medical resources, once a person has a schus, so then first come, first serve, unless he doesn't have, if he has a right to it. So I don't see what the difference should be once the funds are set aside.
No.
Let's say, but two guys present with a heart attack, right? Right. Same level of need and same resource. Yeah. Okay. So that's the din of utzdakim achayv leli altar, because the name are available. Let's. Mara said, if you would have left kavan. Amar Rava, five lines in the bottom. Kevin she'amar alav regel echad oiver be'asei, that even though he has three yamim tovim until he's in violation of the lo sasa, until he commits the offense of actively, not actively, but procrastinating, holding back three yamim tovim. But the Torah says he has to bring the korban, and then he should try to bring it as soon as he can. So that's the mitzvah say, uvosa shama veveisim shama. You come to Yerushalayim, you should bring your korbanos. So the first yom tov, I come and I forget, or I didn't bring my korban, I am in violation of an asay. Second, in violation of an asay. Third, if it's in the order of Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, I'm in violation of the asay and the los asay. Again, what's the difference between being in violation of an asay? Because the violation of an assay, if it is beyond my control, I am probably not in violation of the assay, but to some extent, not quite as a strong term. But if there's a very, very good reason, or in addition, the Gemara says that when it comes to the assay, I have to be willing to spend a fifth of my income. So let's say the train cost from a lot to Yerushalayim is more than a fifth of my income, so I would not be obligated to spend that money after the first Yom Tov, not after the second Yom Tov, but after the third, I would, because not to violate a los asa, I have to be willing to give up all of my funds. Beisvei, hey, Rabbi Yeshua Papayas, al velad shlomim, sheyikrav shlomim. They pointed out that they saw that there was a korban person set aside, a korban as a shlomim. That korban that was set aside to be brought as a korban and then to provide meals for the kainim, for the owners, was pregnant. And that pregnant shlomim gave birth to a vlad, to a baby shlomim. The Gemara says, on vlad shlomim, sheyikrav shlomim. Did they remember there's such a case? Person was makdish an animal, didn't give it a pregnancy test before he did it. The animal turned out to be pregnant. The animal had a baby. Now I have a mother, daughter, a mother, son, korban. Omer v'payis, ani meyid, shehoyis olonu parah, shoziv cheshwanim. That a person had a korban. I'm a korban shlomim. We have to be a pora cow. V'achlnu b'pesach. I remember that the person had an animal. It was a korban shlomim. It was a mother-daughter situation. All right? The mother became part of the Simchas Yontov of Pesach. Now, how long do I get to wait to use the vlad? So it should be after Pesach, I'm already in violation of the positive mitzvah. Shavuos, positive mitzvah. Sukkos, is there any three of them tovim? So the end of Sukkos, I'm over Maltacher. So he remembered, Yachalma v'loda shlomim v'chag. And we had the baby as a korban on the yomtiv. V'shlomim v'pesach lo'y akrivu. So now the Gemara says, why were they so comfortable in waiting? There's a mitzvah to say to bring it right away. They were in Yerushalayim. So why didn't they bring it? So the Gemara said, well, it could be it was born on Pesach. And you can't bring a korban until 8 days have passed. Okay, that I get. But at Seres, they should have brought it on Shavuos. Hechi Mashi, V'Ari Aleika Masei, how can they hold back from bringing the korban and be in violation of an essay? Amrav Zivid Mishmei the Rama could go in Shaya, the only way that could be, Shayachoy Lebatzeres, that the baby, the offspring, was ill, had some kind of a mum, and wasn't kosher to be brought as a korban. Sorry? Right? But and then I would not be in violation of the essay. Ravashi Omer Mayim Achalnu Velo De Shlom Mechag De Tani Chag Ashavuos The Idach Kol Hecha De Tani Pesach Tani Aseres. The Gemara says that they didn't wait till Shmini Aseres. They waited till Shavuos, because in the context of Pesach, Aseres is Shavuos. Right? So they, in fact, did not wait an extra Yom Tov. And that's the idea that the Gemara refers to, the Torah refers to Shmini Atzeres and Atzeres, and refers to Shavuos and Atzeres. Ramban says they're very similar ideas. That Shmini Atzeres is the bookend of Sukkos. Ramban says Shavuos is the bookend of Pesach, and the Sfira is the Chol Hamoed between the two. That's the Gemara says in the context of Pesach, Atzeres means Shavuos. Good. So next time we'll continue with some more details of the Baal Ta'achim. How pressing it is. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we didn't have to lose the night just a little bit of snow.
Shkach.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Night.